President Bush makes his religious beliefs well known, perhaps more so than any other previous occupant of the Oval Office. He campaigned as a compassionate conservative who had found deep faith in God, and he refers to his faith as a guiding force influencing his policy decisions. The president is not at all alone among public officials in talking about his faith. Many politicians do. But is that a breach of the constitutional separation of church and state in America? Sarah Gordon is a professor of law and history at the University of Pennsylvania. She specializes in the history of American religion and the law, and she joins us. Hello.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Talk a little bit about this issue. I'll give a little bit of background. The separation of church and state is established in the very first phrase of the First Amendment to the Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And the framers of the Constitution also included in that First Amendment freedom of speech, the press, the right to assemble, and the right to criticize the government. The framers of the Constitution put religion first. Was that a reflection of their priorities?
I think it was both a reflection of priorities and of history. In most of European history, which is, of course, where the constitutional framers sought to understand their own history, religious wars had devastated the landscape again and again. And of course, many immigrants to North America came seeking religious freedom, at least for themselves. In other words, the ability to practice whatever religious belief they professed, even if they didn't promise to provide it for anyone else. So that religion had been a devastatingly violent problem in Europe and often pushed people to migrate to North America, so that North American colonists thought of themselves as particularly interested in religious freedom and in preventing violence.
And that was their objective, preventing violence, creating a secular society?
Creating a secular society and especially making sure that the national government was secular. State governments, several states, maintained established religions well into the national period, but everybody was concerned that the national government itself should not have an official relationship with a particular religious group.
If the framers were interested in this national framework, did they expect public officials to separate their religious beliefs from their public responsibilities?
Obviously, that is the question of the day. In many senses, they did not. And I'm thinking in particular here of George Washington's farewell address after his two terms, and he was leaving office in 1796. He argued that the key to holding this new political experiment together was religion and morality, and nothing else could do it. And by that, he and others like him meant that in a limited state like the United States, where government is by definition limited, if people don't have a grounding in which they are convinced they need to do the right and honest thing, or they will suffer some kind of eternal punishment, such as when they swear on the Bible that they will tell the truth, if they don't believe, if they do perjure themselves, that they will eventually suffer in heaven, if not on earth, or in hell, if not on earth, then the commands of the temporal government, which is so weak, will never be able to take effect. So they were worried about the survival of the country if the people in it didn't have an eye on the very big picture, eternity.
Take a look at the course of American history just for a moment. What are some of the issues that have been particularly influenced by political thinking founded in religious belief?
There are many, right from right from the First Amendment forward. I think two that stand out, especially in terms of our constitutional understanding, are anti-slavery, begun by a radical group of Quakers and evangelical Protestants who, because of their faith and their commitment to the essential humanity of every human being, came to see slavery as a wrong and as a deep problem for the young country. That would be one very, very important example. Another, on a less permanent basis, might be prohibition and the influence of religious thinkers on banning of alcohol consumption. A third, again, very transformative of the country, would be the civil rights revolution of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and the deep relationship of activists in that movement, among whom, obviously, is the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. Those people who used their Christian commitment to argue critically that the country was not living up to its own ideals.
Do you think society's understanding of the separation of church and state has been influenced as the demographics of America have changed as different religions have come into the country, the influx?
I think the answer is yes, and I think it's a very complicated yes. But I do think, for example, most people still embrace very much the idea of a separation of church and state, but they disagree profoundly about what that means. Does it mean that it is invalid for a school child to be asked to recite the Lord's Prayer? Or does it mean that it's invalid for that same school child to be asked to recite the Pledge of Allegiance in which the words "under God" appear? Those kinds of debates are themselves evidence of how alive and aware we are as a country about the importance of religion. And I do think that that has from time to time ebbed and flowed over the course of American history. And we are in the early 21st century and throughout the late 20th century living through a period of extraordinary religious revival and expansion.
Sarah Gordon is a professor of law and history at the University of Pennsylvania. She joined us from the campus of Princeton University, where she was a visiting fellow in the program in law and public affairs. Professor Gordon is the author of The Mormon Question, Polygamy and Constitutional Conflict in 19th Century America, published by the University of North Carolina Press. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.